the Fanatics Baseball Show. Philadelphia's top baseball experts. Scene setters from the ballpark. Game time lineups. Pitching matchups. And your calls. Live from the Fanatics Studios. Here's Andrew Zalchunas.
Well, if you didn't hear me earlier with Anthony Gargano on the midday show, I'll just let you know. I'm not happy today. Quite frankly, I'm miserable. I'm angry. I'm pissed off. All of the above. Last night was embarrassing, except the players didn't think it was embarrassing. Gabe Kapler didn't think it was embarrassing. They said in post-game interviews that they weren't embarrassed. Well, you know what? I hope they were just lying to the cameras, lying to the reporters, because you should be embarrassed. 16-2? I heard, oh, well, it was just one game from Bryce Harper. Come on, dude. I don't give a damn if it was just one game. You guys have been falling apart since the month of June began. And you want to tell me it was just one game? No. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Fanatic Baseball Show. I'm your host, Andrew Zalchunas, taking you till 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We will preview Game 2 of tonight's series with the L.A. Dodgers. We'll give you the starting lineups in a bit. But first, let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Check my man out on Phillies pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. You can read his stuff on their website and the My Teams app and follow him on Twitter at CSidemanNBCS. Corey Seidman on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, what the hell happened last night?
You know, I think what you just said, Andrew, is a pretty accurate assessment of how things went last night after the game. You know, after a 16-2 drubbing, I think many were expecting the Phillies to kind of admit some humiliation. I mean, that it wasn't just the final score; it was the way that they went about doing that. The fourth inning and the eighth inning, arguably the two ugliest innings of the season. You know, the fourth inning allowing the catcher to successfully lay down a safety squeeze, and then allowing a double steal of home. Forgetting how many outs there were, and then in the eighth, needing to turn to a position player because the bullpen wasn't even, you know, able to hold what at that point was a 6-run deficit or a 7-run deficit. Really pathetic last night. The responses from guys last night seem to indicate that the Phillies still think that they can go on a run here, but this is now 6 weeks of losing. You know, 24 out of their last 39 games have been losses. Somehow, some way, they still remain tied to that second wild card spot, but that's not really what anybody's thinking about. Because everybody who's been watching this team on a regular basis knows that if they continue to play like this, they're going to finish the season well out of the playoff race.
Corey, you're around that team more than I am. I'm here at the studio every single night from 4:30 until 7 o'clock, so I don't get a chance to really get down there. Are these guys blind to what is happening right now? I mean, we just talked about the comments of not being embarrassed, but I also heard Zach Eflin saying that he took positives from his outing last night. I mean, what in the world could you possibly have seen that was positive from his outing last night? Are these guys just blind to this, or are they still holding on hope, like you mentioned, that they are technically still in the wild card race?
Yeah, I think it's a fine line. Like, some guys are really hard on themselves when they struggle. For example, Vince Velasquez, if he has a bad outing, he's the first one to tell you about it. He goes through in detail everything that he felt went wrong, and he even kind of expands upon what many of us would be saying. Then there are other players who like to kind of just answer the question and move on and take the positive that they can get and remain optimistic. And, you know, I'm not sure what the right approach is. It's not like if these guys come out and admit, yeah, that was an embarrassing loss, it's not like that's going to lead them to success the next day. It's totally meaningless in terms of wins and losses. But, you know, in terms of accountability, you understand why this fan base especially wants to hear that from the manager, from the starting pitcher, from the offense that has gone lifeless too often this season. I think that the Phillies legitimately still think that they have enough talent to turn it around, and they look at their track records. But at some point, you are what your record is. You know, the Phillies are almost 65% of the way into the season, and they're two games over 500 with a very mediocre-looking run differential. All of that, to me, means more than what these guys did from 2016 to 2018.
Speaking of Corey Seidman on the Comcast Business Hotline, you brought up Gabe Kapler. Do you think the players respond to Gabe Kapler, or how do you think they respond to Gabe Kapler? Because earlier today he spoke and he said he was angry, but he won't go on a tirade. He says he's not bleeping Dallas Green. Well, we just saw another incident last night where a guy doesn't run out the ground ball, and I get the possible injury to Michael Franco. That's why he's not in the starting lineup, but he also made the decision to maybe make a statement by not starting Michael Franco. But we saw mental errors in the field. Are guys not listening to Gabe Kapler and his leadership, or is this just strictly on the players?
That's definitely a different leadership style. I mean, you observe the way that the manager and the coaching staff deals with players. There's it's mostly support based. You know, they have the tough conversations privately when they feel they need to, but it's mostly them building up their players. And I don't know the definitive answer to that question. Are they responding to him or not? But I definitely see a clubhouse full of guys that don't seem to take it too personally when they lose games. I know my colleague Jim Salisbury has been saying that for a week or so now, and I totally agree. It's not that guys are in a good mood after a loss. It's just that it doesn't seem to resonate with them how much this thing is spiraling out of control. And when you combine that with what the last month and a half looked like last season, you understand why this fan base is getting so impatient already, even though there's many games left to be played. That being said, there doesn't seem to be, a lot that is going on that's changing the course of things. The Phillies have been dealing with these hustle-related incidents since the beginning of June. There has been Gene Segura again, Cesar Hernandez, Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins, Odubel Herrera, Michael Franco last night. So, that's a situation where the team obviously hasn't responded to the way that Kapler and the coaching staff has gone about disciplining them or not disciplining them, and that probably played a role in why Franco is being benched tonight, that the Phillies and Kapler especially just feel that they need to do something different to try to get that message across to the team.
Do you think Gabe Kapler is safe with his job security? Because Andy McPhail spoke last Friday, and he was asked about the leadership of the team and Klentak and Kapler, and he responded by saying he wouldn't dignify the question with an answer. How safe do you think Gabe Kapler is, and even Matt Klentak at this point, if it continues to spiral downhill like it did last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fluid topic. We're talking today, the Phillies are 2 games over 500. If 3 weeks from now they're 5 games under 500, the answer is a lot different. I don't really believe too much in those votes of confidence. We see it all the time and across multiple sports where, a general manager gives their manager or coach a vote of confidence and 3 weeks later the guy's fired. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Kapler, but I think that it's a very tenuous circumstances that everybody's under here. You got to remember that Matt Klentak is the GM who hired Gabe Kapler. So if Kapler were to get let go, then Klentak would obviously be the next guy on the chopping block. And I just think a lot of it is to be determined by how the Phillies play over these next 3 weeks. After the Dodgers leave town, the Phillies schedule really does loosen up a bit. They have series against the Pirates, two with the Giants. I think it's 17 out of the next 26 games against teams that are under 500. So it's at least a chance for them to kind of get back on track. And if they can't do it, then I think that the calls for different people's jobs are going to get even louder than they are now.
Speaking of Corey Simon on the Comcast Business Hotline, even if it's teams under 500, as long as it's not the Mets, they're in trouble. Because it seems like the Mets are the only team that this Phillies team can win or beat. So last time you and I spoke, we got into a conversation regarding how well they'd have to play against the Nationals and the Dodgers to be real buyers come the deadline. You wrote the article about it. We were talking about 4-3 or maybe 5-2 to really make an impact come deadline time. Well, through the first 4 games, they are just 1-3. When the month of July comes to an end, will we see a much different Phillies roster once the trade deadline comes to an end?
Yeah, I mean, I still believe they're going to make multiple moves. It's just the caliber of those moves. They're not going to go get Madison Bumgarner. They're not going to go get Matt Boyd if this continues. That you would see more, fringe acquisitions, guys that can help get you through a game. I look at the Red Sox acquiring Andrew Cashner for two 17-year-old low A prospects from the Red Sox. The two lottery tickets. That was a very inexpensive acquisition that Boston was able to make. And Andrew Cashner right now would be better than the 3, 4, and 5 spots in the Phillies rotation. So you might be looking at more moves like that. Moves like we saw last summer when the Phillies got Justin Bolden as Drupal Cabrera and Luis Avilan. So not exactly, big time needle movers, but guys who can fill out the back of the roster and help you. Because right now the issue is just that the Phillies have 6 or 7 guys on this 25-man roster who probably should not be in the big leagues. That's just the sad state of it, given all of the injuries, the underperformance, and just overall unreliability of the middle to back of this roster.
Corey, thank you for coming on. It's gonna be another tough one tonight. Does Vince Velasquez pitch well against this Dodgers lineup?
I think the Phillies would be thrilled if they could get 5 innings, 2 or 3 runs out of them. I do feel safe, though, saying that it's not going to get any uglier than it was Monday night.
Well, I hope so, Corey. I think we all need to see a little bit of a better performance out of the Phillies today. Thanks for coming on, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet.
There he is, Corey Simon on the Comcast Business Hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at CSidemanNBCS. All right, the number for you to get in is 610-632-0975. We start the show every single night with an analyst, so I haven't really been able to pop off just yet. So I'm going to. In a little bit, I'm going to pop off regarding last night's loss and the state of the team. I'm going to play some audio from the players yesterday after their pitiful performance, and yet they weren't embarrassed. It was just one game, according to some of them. And I'm calling out Bryce Harper, too. He actually played okay yesterday, but his comments, just one game? No, dude. More than just one game last night. Play some audio. We'll play from some audio from Gabe Kapler, who spoke today regarding Michael Franco, who's not in the starting lineup. I'll give you the lineups. I'll give you the starting pitchers and a whole lot more. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is The Fanatic Baseball Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 97.5 The Fanatic. Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream. Deep, penetrating, and odor-free. Beat the pain and live life. Blue Emu. It works fast, and you won't stink. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The 76ers and Ben Simmons have agreed to a five-year, $170 million contract extension. Simmons averaged better than 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists the game last season, 4 for Philadelphia. 76ers are 7-1 with this year's NBA title. The Dodgers, $1.90 favorite at Citizens Bank Park today against the Phillies. A $190 bet needed to win $100 in a Dodgers win. Walker Buehler pitching for the Dodgers. 8-1, a 3.46 ERA. It's Vince Velasquez for the Phillies. His ERA 5.94 in his last four. The total, 9.5-0. Online sports betting is here, and PlaySugarHouse.com is Pennsylvania's first legal sports book. Bet all major sports, prop bets, and live in-game wagers. Visit PlaySugarHouse.com today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. For VSIN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Achieving perfection requires feedback. And feedback requires you, the loyal Ford F-150 driver, who rips up tree stumps, hauls boats and campers, builds houses, plows snow, moves friends across town, and carries every heavy thing under the sun. We've gotten your feedback, and it looks good. How? We never rest on our laurels or reminisce about accolades. Because the only thing sweeter than being America's best-selling trucks for 42 straight years is being number one for 43 straight years. Ford F-150. Built Ford tough. Now get an F-150 with 0% financing for 72 months only at your local Ford store. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. 0% APR for 72 months at $1,389 per month per thousand finance, regardless of down payment. Not available on Raptor. Residency restrictions apply. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 9/30/19. See dealer for qualifications and complete details.
It's Tyrone Johnson. You remember the music from Jaws? You know how there's trouble lurking beneath the surface every time those menacing notes are played? Well, let me ask you, does the same sense of dread fill your heart as back to school approaches? With each passing day, does the specter of middle or high school on their onset create anxiety? Do subjects like reading and math remain incredibly confusing for your child? Will the playground bullying from last spring persist into the fall? If so, an alternative exists. Now, today, visit ccaeducate.me and learn how this public cyber charter school can make a difference in the life of your child or grandchild at no cost whatsoever. CCA provides internet service reimbursement and a laptop computer, all at no cost to families. Check out an upcoming virtual open house by visiting ccaeducate.me. Don't wait until another confidence-shattering school year begins to take action. Visit ccaeducate.me and reclaim some peace of mind regarding your child's education.
Hey, Chase Martinez from my friends at Window Nation. Now, the intense summer heat, yeah, it's back. It happens this time of year, causing your old leaky windows to produce unnecessary high energy bills, allowing damaging UV rays to fade your valuables and making your windows even less effective. Well, listen up. While the kids are at camp or families are taking vacation, my trusted friends at Window Nation, the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including me, and the A+ Better Business Bureau rating? Well, they have extra capacity right now and have to keep the factory busy and the installers working. So for the first time ever, get one window free for every window you buy. No minimum or maximum purchase required on all styles of windows. Plus, no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. So buy now and start saving now and literally pay nothing for 2 years. Trust the window company I trust and visit WindowNation.com or call 1-866-90-NATION to get one free window for every window you buy, plus no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. Call soon. The sale ends on July 31st.
When is a calculator more than a calculator? When it takes me from solving math problems
to exploring the universe.
Staples is your back-to-school destination. Find all the supplies and inspiration you need. Staying organized is the key to a successful school year. Come in store this week and get Staples Standard View 1-inch 3-ring binders in assorted colors, just $1.92 each. Staples, back to school and beyond. In store only, ends 8/31/19, while supplies last.
Pennsylvania's veterans have bravely served our country. Now, some are struggling with addiction. Pennsylvania's Substance Use Disorder Hotline is staffed by real people who are trained to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll get you or your loved one into treatment, regardless of your access to insurance. If you know a veteran who's suffering from addiction, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. Everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan. For the people.
Offices, Philadelphia.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Now, back to the Fanatic Baseball Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So, great tweet comes in during the break from Go Birds at SportsDad215. Great Twitter handle, by the way. He goes, "They've been saying it's just one game for a month. And guess what that led to? 9.5 games out of first. 162 game schedule means more than people think. It's just one game could mean a lot when they miss the wild card by one game." Very, very good tweet by at SportsDad215 there. Great tweet. What happened last night, the game itself drove me insane. I mean, I was laughing at points. Like, I was actually laughing. I was at a bar last night, a couple of friends. I was laughing watching the game last night. But every time another hit happened, it was a banging on the table. It's freaking out. Cody Bellinger. And then, Citizens Bank Park. Love it there. They had the audacity to put up on the big screen, "Cody Bellinger has yet to get an RBI against the Phillies this year." Well, he gave you a nice middle finger last night, hitting 2 home runs. By the way, leads the league in home runs now because of that. So great job. Way to add fuel to the fire. I doubt he saw that, but come on, really? You're going to put that up on the screen? So the game itself drove me insane. But then comments after the game made things worse. There was one comment made by Zach Eflin, your starting pitcher last night, who allowed 7 earned runs. 7 earned runs. And at one point he says, "I took away a lot of positives from my outing." He took away positives from an outing where he allowed 7 earned runs. I don't think that's possible. He also says, "Well, there was only a couple of hard hit balls." Dude, come on, man. Own it. You sucked last night. You were terrible. You allowed 7 earned runs. I know it was a very good lineup in the Dodgers, and I know you started off the game going 3 shutout innings. But come on, dude. Don't try to back yourself up by saying you took positives and that you didn't give up many hard hit balls. Come on, dude. That's a joke. He then follows up with this doozy. Take a listen.
No feeling. We're all calm. There's no need to panic. We know how good we're going to be, and you know it's just gonna, you know, it's gonna take that one time, that one game, that everything clicks, and you know, and then it's gonna be a fun rest of the year.
It's just gonna take that one time, that one game. Yeah, Zach, you guys swept the New York Mets in four games, and I was on my high horse. I said, "See, this team's fine. Don't worry about it. Hitting season starts now." Boy, was I wrong, because you start then facing teams that have talent, and you lose. And one of those teams was the Miami Marlins. You lost two straight series to the Miami Marlins. But no, it's just going to take one win. We're not panicking. We're fine. You know what was pretty damning? And Tyler Zuli, if you could get the cut, I would appreciate that. Corey Seidman, during the interview, when we just had him on in the at the top of the show, he said that his co-worker, Jim Salisbury of NBC Sports Philadelphia, said that he notices in the locker room that this team doesn't even look all that upset that they lose. That they don't even look all that upset that they lose. He says that obviously they're not partying in the locker room. They're not having this good time. But it just seems like, you know, we're still in it. We're still the second wild card team. Are you guys blind? Am I missing something here? Am I watching a different game of baseball than what they are? Is somebody plugging in their MLB The Show on my TV and I'm watching a team getting crushed 16-2, but the actual team, the real Philadelphia Phillies, are winning games left and right? Because I must be seeing something completely different. What do you mean everything's going to be fine? It's just going to take that one win. You've had that one win. You've had opportunities, and you blow them. You've blown them late in games, like Hector Neris against the Nationals. You've been shut out, like game one against the Nationals, and then you get completely beat up, like last night against the Dodgers. You are losing in every single way possible. Whether it's getting crushed, whether it's not hitting at all, maybe you pitch well, but you can't score a damn run, or you have a lead late, and then you blow it. Tell me how everything is going to be fine. Because you can't. To me, that was a disgraceful comment from Zach Eflin, and I get it. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Oh, we're falling apart. I'm going to go down with the ship. No, he's not going to say that stuff. I get it. But come on. Really? And then, to make things worse, I got to hear through the TV Dodgers fans chanting, "Thank you, Phillies." Thank you, Phillies, they were chanting. Why? Because the Phillies were great hosts last night. All these Dodgers fans, whether they were from LA or just from the area, who probably don't go to games that often because they're Dodgers fans, they come to Philadelphia, they come to Citizens Bank Park, and they get that show. And absolutely, it was a firework performance for the Dodgers. So then Bryce Harper speaks. This is a quick little one. Bryce Harper speaks after the game, and this is what Bryce Harper says.
No, I mean, it's one game.
It's just one game. It's just one game, says Bryce Harper. Just one game. That's all. Like, come on, dude. I got Zach Eflin telling us, don't worry, everything's fine. Bryce Harper, when asked if he was embarrassed, he goes, no, it's just one game. Well, this just one game, as the guy on Twitter pointed out earlier, saying that one game has turned out to being 9.5 games out of first place. That one game has now put you even further behind the Nationals for the wild card spot. Two games. I know two's not all that much. But when the Nationals were at one point in third place and you were in first place and now you're in third place, like, come on, man. 610-632-0975. So we got that going on. Finally, Gabe Kapler. I have two cuts from Gabe Kapler. We'll play the personality one first, because Gabe Kapler was asked earlier about reaming out his players. This is what he talks about when it comes to his personality.
I don't really know what letting guys have it means, but I can tell you that I know how to hold players accountable. It's something that I think if you ask them, they know that they're held accountable and held to a higher standard. There's many different ways to get there. Some guys yell and scream, and some guys have conversations with their players. I probably fall into the latter category. It doesn't mean that I don't have a similar level of fire and intensity and enthusiasm that, that maybe some of those traditional managers have. But it's hard for me to sit here and apologize for my personality. I am who I am.
Listen, Gabe, I'm not asking you to break a cooler with a bat. I'm not asking you to break a TV with a bat. I'm not asking you to throw stuff around the locker room. I'm not asking you to do that stuff. I get it. It's 2019, totally different coaching methods, right? It's not Bobby Knight throwing a chair across the gym. We don't get that anymore. I get it. But clearly your message is not getting across. So your laid-back attitude and, well, I have my own type of intensity and all that stuff, clearly it's not working out, man. You need to find a way, a new method. And I've said time and time again, it's not Gabe Kapler's fault that the starting pitching was neglected during the offseason. It's not Gabe Kapler's fault that the bullpen's injured. It's not his fault that Andrew McCutchen gets hurt. Those aren't Gabe Kapler's faults. I get it. You can't blame him for that. But every once in a while, you need to make a change to light a fire under a team. And today was the first day where I was really thinking Gabe Kapler should have been fired after last night. Today was the first time I actually thought that. I'm usually a guy that says, give him the entire season. But last night was the first time where I said, you got to be kidding me. Franco doesn't bust his ass down the first baseline. How many times do we have to see that? How many times do we have to see mental errors in the field? Guys not covering first base on bunts. How many times do we have to see that? Until we finally get an idea whether or not a message has gotten across. Because clearly the message is not getting across with Gabe Kapler. These guys don't want to run it out for you, Gabe. They just don't. So maybe you do need to change your level of intensity a little bit. Maybe you do need to change the way you address things in the locker room or individually. I don't care. You need to learn. And learning on the job sometimes isn't a good thing, especially when you have a roster this good. Clearly, it's not great because of the record, 2 games above .500. But man, that bothered me last night too. All right, I'm going to take a breather. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Pat in Blackwood. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing? Great show.
Thanks, Pat.
Listen, I've called several times the radio station, made my opinions noted, but, you know, they broke the cardinal rule in baseball. The cardinal rule in baseball, I played a little minor league baseball myself. Pitching and defense is a big part of the game. He knew last year, they knew they needed pitching, and they went with guys that are AAA pitchers at best. You can't go out there. And, you know, these guys are pros. The guys in the field are pros. And I'm not giving them a pass. You go, you're a pro, you got to be responsible for your own play on the field. But when you go out, and if you played any baseball, and you're in the field, and the third inning it's 8-0, it takes a lot out of a team. Because the guys are looking around like, here we go again, another 15 runs, another 11 runs. Kapler, I don't blame him for the pitching that they don't have. You're 100% right.
That's Matt Klintak's fault.
That's McClintock's fault. And as far as the other guy, McPhail, he's living on yesterday's laurels because he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's not doing a whole hell of a lot. But Kapler does not know how to use a pitching staff when he does get a good pitch game. How many times have you seen a guy going along 7 innings pitching, going, oh, old Yankee now? For what? What do you got back there behind him? Let these guys, well, he had 105 pitch, 107. Well, guess what? That's the problem with baseball today. Guys like Carlton could go 130 pitches. They pitch a game, and that's it. These guys today, their arm falls off after 5 innings. You've got to get pitching, man. And all they can do now with Middleton, with his money, is try to get a couple of pitchers this year that they're done. Forget about Washington. They're not going to catch Washington. They're not going to catch anybody. They're going down fast. They get a couple pitchers to at least get them competitive again. This team looks like a different team when Nola's pitching, don't they?
Yeah, because Aaron Nola's a proven pitcher, Pat, and I appreciate the phone call, man. Great stuff. Like, that was an awesome call. They neglected the starting pitching during the offseason. And I played the audio from Steve Phillips, former general manager of Major League Baseball. I played the audio yesterday. And Steve Phillips now covers the league for the MLB Network, does stuff on MLB Network Radio. And he was down in spring training with the Phillies. And they tried selling him during the offseason when, you know, there was still time to make some moves, by the way. Dallas Keuchel hadn't been signed yet. There was still time to make some moves. They tried selling him that Nick Pivetta and Zach Eflin and Vince Velasquez were going to take a leap forward. Not a little step, not a baby step, a leap forward. They thought that these guys who have ERAs of 5 would all of a sudden have ERAs of 3. Like, what are we thinking here? Matt, Klentak, Andy McPhail, what are we thinking here? I know you did a lot for this team offensively, and I applaud you for that. I applaud you for being able to sign Bryce Harper. I applaud you for trading for JT Realmuto, for trading for Gene Segura, for signing Andrew McCutchen. I applaud you for all that. I applaud you for trading for Jay Bruce. I applaud you for that. But what I cannot forget, and what not one single Phillies fan should forget, is just how much they neglected the starting pitching and actually believed that Nick Pivetta would be a number two in your rotation. A formidable number two. That Zach Eflin would be a good three or four. Like a top three or four in the league. Like, come on. That is a disgrace. And it's coming back to bite him right in the rear end. 610-632-0975. Dave and Manny Young. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Just so frustrated with the Phillies. One real quick, I want to say 97.5 is great. Listen to it every day, all you guys.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
But aside from that, the Phillies really have me going crazy. I was at the World Series game when we won in 2008. And with that team, every night you went out, you knew you had a pitcher you could rely on. With this team, you got one starter, maybe, out of the week. And then when a reliever's in the game, you're like, who knows what's going to happen.
Right.
And then batting-wise, we should have a team that can hit 1-7, 1-8, but they don't hit. It's super frustrating. So, like, I know you and Jamie, you guys are all frustrated, and so am I. It just sucks.
Yeah, man, it's tough. And you bring up the whole 2008 thing. It wasn't just that they had this lights out rotation, right? They didn't have the best rotation. They just had guys that could give you innings. Like Cole Hamels was your best pitcher that year. He had an ERA just over 3. Jamie Moyer was your number 2 with a 3.71 ERA. Brett Myers had a 4.55. Kyle Kendrick had a 5.49. Joe Blanton had a 4.20. It's not like these guys had Cy Young type of numbers. But the thing is that they had was consistent offense, which this Phillies team has not had a consistent offense, but they had a very good bullpen. They had Brad Lidge. They had Ryan Madsen. They had guys like JC Romero who seemed to be effective whenever they were called upon. This bullpen, if you get to the sixth inning, it's still not a surefire lock that if you're up in the sixth inning that you're going to win.
Yeah, it's bad. And one thing real quick too, last night, it's disappointing when Roman Quinn pitching is the only exciting part of the game.
Yeah, man, that's ridiculous, Dave. And I appreciate the phone call. I mean, the having to go to a position player on the mound, it's not the first time it's happened, but having to go to a position player on the mound tells you just how bad things are going. And that was atrocious last night. Like, absolutely atrocious. All right, starting lineups for tonight. 610-632-0975. We'll get a couple more phone calls in, but I'll give you the starting lineups right now. This is for the LA Dodgers. The Dodgers, man, they had 6 guys in the lineup with at least 2 RBI last night. Well, 5 of them are back in the lineup tonight. Jock Peterson bats leadoff at first base. He went 2-for-6 with 2 RBIs. He's also 2-for-6 in his career off of Vince Velasquez, which will be a common theme with this lineup. I'll explain that more later on in the show. Alex Verdugo bats second in left field. He went 3-for-6 yesterday with 2 RBI and 3 runs scored. He had a 2-run shot off of Yoxel Rios. Justin Turner bats third at third base. Cody Bellinger, he bats fourth in right field. Hit numbers 32 and 33 last night. That leads the league in home runs. He has a .341 batting average, which is second best in all of baseball. And his 75 RBIs are tied for second base. Yeah, he's having an MVP type of season. Max Muncy bats fifth at second base. He went yard off of Edebray Ramos last night. AJ Pollock bats sixth in center field. He was not in the lineup last night, but in his 3 games since returning from his injury this month, he's hitting .429 with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. So just more power for the Dodgers to have. Corey Seager bats seventh at shortstop. Austin Barnes, the catcher, returns behind the plate. He'll bat eighth. And Walker Buehler bats ninth. He gets the start tonight. So once more, Jock Peterson, Alex Verdugo, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger will bat fourth, Max Muncy, AJ Pollock, Corey Seager, Austin Barnes, and Walker Buehler. So that is your LA Dodgers lineup. For the Phillies, a little different lineup tonight. Cesar Hernandez will bat leadoff. He will play second base. Scott Kingery will bat second, playing shortstop. Known Gene Segura in the lineup tonight. He had a bruised heel, according to manager Gabe Kapler. Kingery went yard last night after I was nice and critical about his struggles in the leadoff spot, so he showed me up, but Kapler must have listened to the show, putting him second tonight. Bryce Harper bats third in right field. So far this month, he has raised his average from 247 to 254. Hopefully, he continues to trend upwards. Rhys Hoskins bats fourth at first base. Jay Bruce will bat fifth in left field, going through a little slump right now. He's 0 for his last 12. JT Realmuto bats sixth behind the plate. Brad Miller will bat seventh, playing third base. No Franco in the lineup tonight. Apparently, he has a groin injury, but Gabe Kapler did speak today and said there may be a little more to the decision. I'll play that in just a second. Adam Haseley bats eighth in center field. Vince Velasquez will bat ninth. He gets a start on the mound tonight. So Gabe Kapler spoke today to members of the media, as he does before every single game, and they asked him about Maikel Franco not being in the starting lineup tonight, and this is what he had to say.
Gabe, if just to go back to Maikel real quick, if he's healthy, does he play tonight, or that doesn't factor in it? Like, if he was no groin, no issues, no problems whatsoever, is he in the lineup?
I don't think that I need to address that. I think you guys know that, you know, that these decisions, or me taking out of a player out of the lineup in a punitive way, is not my natural way of handling these type of situations. In this particular situation, I thought it was critical to address, in part because right after some of the other incidents that we've had, I had a conversation with the club, and I shared with them that it's not an acceptable level of effort and that we have to do a better job. So I thought that this was the right time to make a change.
Thank you, Gabe. Because I still remember after Cesar didn't run one out, you said, I'm not going to take this anymore. And you talked about how you were going to hold people accountable. And the next day, Cesar Hernandez was in the starting lineup, which just allows players to walk all over you. So I'm glad he finally did something with Franco. But of course, we also have the excuse that Franco has the injury. So would he have been able to play anyway? Is he just using this as an excuse? Who knows? 610-632-0975. It's just amazing. I'll give you some starting pitching stuff in a little bit. Let's go to Matt in Philly. I want to allow people to voice their frustrations today, because last night was just embarrassing, and I don't know how much better tonight's going to go. So if you want to voice your frustrations, 610-632-0975. Matt in Philly. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, now, question for you. With Gabe, if they fired him, who would you put in to replace him?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty loaded question, because we don't know who's going to be available at the end of the season. But there are guys that are out there. Like, I know we keep on bringing up Joe Girardi as a name. I wanted Joe Girardi from the beginning. He wasn't quick. He didn't want to get back into the managerial role just yet. He wanted to do some stuff, in-studio stuff. Who knows? Maybe he's enjoying himself and doesn't want to get back into being, you know, a manager. I heard somebody talking about Buck Showalter earlier. There's guys that are out there, but who knows what Matt Klentak and what Andy McPhail, if they're still here, who do they want? Do they want a guy who has an analytic background like Gabe Kapler had, even though he had no managerial experience whatsoever? Or do they want to go back to the old school way of doing things, even though Girardi was really big on analytics, but he was also sort of an old school baseball guy and knew the game and as a manager as well?
And I agree. I just feel they have to do something sooner than later. I don't want to wait to the end of the season to make a move. I mean, if it's another blowout tonight, got Vince pitching tonight, I'm not expecting much.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, last night was the first time I said, okay, if they fired him today, I wouldn't be shocked. Because all season long, I've been saying you got to give him the entire year. It's only year two. You've seen three different managers in 6 years now, with Ryan Sandberg and Pete McCannon and now Gabe Kapler. Maybe sometimes stability is a good thing, which you haven't had. But after last night, and it's not the first time we've seen a blowout like this, and not only did they just get blown out, it wasn't that the Dodgers just completely outclassed them. They made mistakes on their own of not running things out and making mental errors in the field, and that comes back to managing.
Well, you mentioned that right before I got on, you were talking that Maikel Franco being injured. Listen, he's been in the doghouse with this team the whole year, so it's easy for them to put him down, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see him for almost a month, Matt, and I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they were quick to sit him. Now, Franco has also been one of your best players in the lineup in recent weeks. He's been one of your hottest hitters. So you didn't sit Gene Segura because you were on a losing streak and you needed him in the lineup. And they ended up losing that game, but he hit a home run that game. You didn't want to take him out because you were struggling so badly. You're struggling right now, and Franco is one of your best hitters in the lineup at this point. The thing is, he's got the groin injury. So it might have been a little easier for Gabe to make that decision. 610-632-0975. I have the starting pitchers for tonight, Walker Buehler versus Vince Velasquez. I'll give you some numbers on them in a bit, and we'll take a couple more phone calls. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic Baseball Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Fanatics, it's Natalie for My Guys at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Right now, during this summer of Jeep, save not 10, not 15, not 20, but up to 25% off MSRP on new Jeeps. Choose from over 800 new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, Compass Renegades, and the all-new Gladiator everyone is talking about. Trust me, guys, if you want bigger selection, better prices, and an all-around better buying experience, drive an extra mile, cross the bridge, or turn out of that other dealer and into TurnersvilleJeep.com and save up to 25% off new Jeeps. They're Philly and South Jersey's fastest growing Jeep dealer for a reason. TurnersvilleJeep.com on Route 42 in Turnersville, New Jersey, or at TurnersvilleJeep.com. And make sure you tell them Natalie sent you.
2018 Compass Limited, four-cylinder auto MSRP, $31,585, selling price of $23,689, represents 25% savings off MSRP, includes all applicable rebates, tax tags extra, offer not valid with trade-in, ends July 31st, 2019.
What a night. Hawks Casino and Sportsbook. Online sports betting is live in Pennsylvania. Place all your favorite sports bets, all at the click of a button from anywhere in Pennsylvania. Hawks Casino and Sportsbook has you covered. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit. Go to parkscasino.com/fan and use the promo code SPORTS to get your risk-free bet of up to $250. Bet with the best online at the number one casino in Pennsylvania, Hawks Casino and Sportsbook. Street Road exit off I-95 of the PA Turnpike. Risk-free betting refunded on losses of free bet. 21 gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parks Casino, your place for action and excitement. Sweet Summer Thursdays every Thursday in July. Earn 50 entries and earn free slot play prizes up to $5,000. Saturday, July 20th, triple your luck Saturday. Earn 40 entries to play a mystery game at any slot machine. Top free slot play prize, $1,000. This Saturday, July 20th, J.B. Smoothe will be live at the Excite Center. Cheech and Chong, July 26th. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, July 27th. John Anderson of Yes, August 3rd. Squeeze, August 16th. Tickets for these shows and more on sale now. Visit parkscasino.com. Must be 21. Gambling problem, go 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's talk about Noah. Last year, he had a fast food delivery job. The hours were garbage. The pay was worse. So he went to My Computer Career. In less than 6 months, Noah started his IT career. Now he's in line for his second promotion. Is your job garbage? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Pros do it right by relying on trusted brands. Lowe's is here to help by stocking more of those brands, like DeWalt. Shop Pro bonus days and save $130 on a DeWalt 4-tool combo kit with two batteries and a charger for $269. And get a DeWalt 16-pack reciprocating saw blade set for $19.98. During Pro bonus days, get exclusive Pro savings with your Lowe's business credit account and enjoy breakfast on us all week while supplies last. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 7/21. Credit terms apply, U.S. only.
When is a calculator more than a calculator? When it takes me from solving math problems
to exploring the universe.
Staples is your back-to-school destination. Find all the supplies and inspiration you need. Staying organized is the key to a successful school year. Come in store this week and get Staples Standard View 1-inch 3-ring binders in assorted colors, just $1.92 each. Staples, back to school and beyond. In store only, ends 8/31/19, while supplies last.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend, but watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, PA has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. Camping gear, kayaks, hunting apparel, or gifts, all the big names, they have them. Great selection of gun safes in stock, and don't worry about how you're going to move it, they deliver. French Creek Outfitters has indoor archery and shooting ranges too. French Creek Outfitters, located on Route 23, just west of Phoenixville. Shop them online at FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Back to the Fanatic Baseball Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Okay. Hopefully tonight's a different story. And hopefully tonight, even if they lose, it's not 16-2, it's like 2-1. And Vince Velasquez pitches well. There's something like that. We can only hope, right? 16-2? Really? My man Nate tweets in, I was so frustrated last night I turned the game off and watched the Disney Channel Celebrity Flag Football game. Now, Nate, if you're still listening, can you please tweet me the final score and maybe some highlights, and I'll say who won MVP and all that stuff, because that's probably more interesting than what the Phillies did last night. Come on. I'll get back to the phones in a minute. 610-632-0975. Starting pitchers for tonight. Walker Buehler gets a start for the Dodgers. Not a good sign for the Phillies. He's just having a great season. That's all. He's 8-1 in 17 starts with a 3.46 ERA. Now, the good thing if you're Walker Buehler is maybe your eventual losses become no decisions because you have that incredible Dodgers lineup behind you. But he's 8-1 in 17 starts. He's actually struggled in his last two starts where he's allowed 10 earned runs in 12 2/3 innings of work. Again, I wouldn't get too excited, though. Even with that bad start in June where he allowed 7 earned runs, he still finished the month going 3-0 in 5 starts with a 2.45 ERA. And on the road this season, he is 5-1 in 9 starts with an ERA under 4. Lefties are hitting 223 off of Buehler. Righties hitting 231. And he doesn't give up many home runs. He's only given up 11 all season. So Walker Buehler gets a start for the Dodgers. And Vince Velasquez will get the start for the Phillies. When I was going through the starting lineup for the Dodgers, I mentioned that there would be a common theme. Because Jock Peterson is 2-for-3, I believe it is. Or 2-for-6, excuse me, off of Velasquez in his career. Well, here's why. Bellinger, Cody Bellinger, he's 2-for-3. Peterson's 2-for-6. Justin Turner's 3-for-9. So some of the big bats in this Dodgers lineup have fared pretty well against Velasquez. I know it's limited appearances, limited at-bats, but they weren't too scared the first time they faced Velasquez or the first couple of times they faced Velasquez, because Velasquez actually pitched against the Dodgers twice this season, but they were both in relief roles when they were in L.A. He went an inning and 2/3 in the two games, and he allowed 2 runs, 1 earned, and was the losing pitcher in game 3 of that series. That was the game that Nick Pivetta was pitching very well and then got pinch hit for, and then all of a sudden they lost 8-0. Remember that? Yeah, that was fun. This team's frustrating. This team is disappointing. I'm angry. And we keep on hearing over and over again about how they might not be that aggressive come trade deadline time, and I'm going to be honest. I'm not excited for another trade deadline where you bring in Justin Bour and Aaron Loop and Wilson Ramos. That was a nice trade. I'm just not that excited for it. I need more. I really hope that they do overspend a little bit for a guy that they can control for a couple of years. I really do. Like Matt Boyd from the Tigers, he's under control for a couple of years. Maybe you can make a move for that. I mean, that's one of the sexy names out there. He's a lefty. You don't have a lefty, a regular lefty in your rotation. That would be a move that I would like to see, because then you have him under control. The Madison Bumgarner stuff, you're done with that. No more Madison Bumgarner. So, I don't know. We'll see. July 31st is 15 days away. That's when the trade deadline is. Let's go to Mac and Drexel. Mac, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, man. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Mac.
Yeah, man. What is that? I just looked the other day. I think it's 9 days of football season. I think that's probably we're better off at this point. But, I mean, my thing with the way the Phillies are set up now, I think their problem is, I mean, they have
everywhere you look at it, they have an injured bullpen. You got Robertson was just a mess, you know, that Klintak brought in. You got, you know, Tommy Hunter Klintak brought in, paid all this money to. Nishek, they paid all this money to. And none of them can pitch. None of them can stay healthy. On top of that, I mean, this rotation, I don't know what they were looking at to think that, you know, Arrieta could stay healthy. They knew it going. They had to know going into this season Arrieta wasn't 100%. They had to know, you know, what to that.
Yeah, after he was hurt just last season, you know?
Yeah, we've seen with Velasquez. They keep trying to make this Velasquez thing work. You know, it's a... And it's frustrating. And they keep... Kepler's, you played the thing earlier, the clip earlier about it, how he feels like, you know, him not holding these players accountable publicly, that's not his thing, basically. Well, obviously, whatever his thing isn't working. I mean, I think at this point, they're better off. I mean, it seems silly, but they honestly, I think, are better off just keep cleaning house.
We lost you, Mac, but I hear you. Cleaning house. You're not the first person that said that. A couple people have been saying that today. I mean, I don't like the manager. I've given him his credit where credit has been due. I've been critical. I don't like the manager. I'm pretty open about it. But I also give him the benefit of the doubt with the injuries of the bullpen. And I also give him the benefit of the doubt of having a terrible rotation. And that comes back to Matt Klintak. But one of the things that really bothers me, and we got the cut, Corey Simon, who joins the show normally every Friday, he switched with Jim Salisbury. Jim Salisbury will join us this Friday. Corey joined us today. And Corey mentioned something that he spoke about with Jim when it comes to the locker room. And again, does this come back to the Gabe Kapler thing? Who knows? But just take a listen to what Corey said about the feeling in the locker room, even with all this losing.
I know my colleague Jim Salisbury has been saying that for a week or so now, and I totally agree. It's not that guys are in a good mood after a loss. It's just that it doesn't seem to resonate with them how much this thing is spiraling out of control. And when you combine that with what the last month and a half looked like last season, you understand why this fan base is getting so impatient already, even though there's many games left to be played.
You heard that, right? Like, they don't seem to be in all that bad of a mood. Are they blind to this? Like, this is when I go back to what Zach Eflin said yesterday. We're not panicking. We're fine. All it's going to take is one big win, and it's all going to click together. Bryce Harper was asked if he was embarrassed. He said, no, it's just one game. Do they not realize what's happening? I get that some of these guys weren't here last year. Like, Bryce Harper wasn't here last year. So he didn't experience that disgraceful end of the season where they just fell off the table. But last season, we did not have the same expectations as we did this season. Last season, we actually all thought it was a fluke. And you know what? It ended up being a fluke. This season, it's not the same. This season, we have expectations of playoffs. And yet, everybody's trying to tell me that everything's fine. All these players, the manager, the GM, Andy McPhail, they're all saying, oh, it's fine. If the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs. Well, that's going to be different soon. If you keep on losing, like you might tonight, against the Dodgers, the best team in baseball, and the Cardinals, who are now all of a sudden tied with you for the second wild card spot, continue to win as they have been, now we got a bit of a problem. And you're not going to be in the playoffs if the season ended today. Next week, will we be able to say, well, if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs? I highly doubt it. I really doubt it. All right, coming up next, Devon Givens and Joe Torty, they will be on from 7 until 12. They'll get into all sorts of stuff, so make sure you listen to Devon and Joe from 7 to 12. But before I go, I just want to let you know about Burger Brawl. By the way, there was burgers dropped off this morning. That was my breakfast, was a peanut butter and jelly bacon cheeseburger. It was fantastic. I'm not going to lie. It may have been a little too much for me, but it was still pretty good. Might as well try it at least once. But Burger Brawl is back. It'll be Sunday, September 15th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit under-reserved schools with the latest technology I can read. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to phillyburgerbrawl.com. Try getting that out of the way, because coming up next, 7 to 12, Devon Givens and Joe Torty. Tyler Zuli produced the show today. Thank you, everyone who called in. Corey Seidman to join the show and everybody who tweeted. I'm Andrew Salchunas. No baseball show tomorrow. Cuz's Corner will be tomorrow. And then the baseball show will return on Thursday, so we switch dates. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.